Thank you, choir. We are so always so glad when you lead us in worship and point our hearts towards God. So thank you for using your gifts and talents and hard work in those ways. We love it. We love it. We are started this new series called Seasons. And what we're taking a look is how each season of our life, it looks a little bit different to be a follower of Jesus. And yet each one of these seasons is really important. I was driving in this morning with my sixth grade daughter. We were talking a little bit about church and youth group and things coming. And I was thinking how faith looks different through her eyes right now. And not long after, since I've been here this morning, two different college students of mine in two different, one's in another part of the world and one's in another part of the country, both texted me. I was like, y'all didn't know I was a pastor? Like you can't text me on Sunday morning, but they both texted with things that they're, and I was thinking about that era of life and everything's in front of them and they're figuring out what God's calling me to in my life. And your faith looks a little different. What it looks like to be a follower of Christ and flourish in that looks a little different than us. I was thinking about when our kids were young and we were first getting started in career and what faith looked like then. And then now as we're kind of in the middle of that. And so each season is a little different. And yet we're a multi-generational church. And so for us, we're going to do this as a series. And one of these weeks, you're going to be like, this hits me squarely where I'm at. And in another week, you're going to be like, I'm so glad I'm done with that. That season's in the past. And for some, you're going to be like, oh, it's in the, oh, that's coming. Each one of these, there are echoes of things that you actually need to put into place in your life even right now. Even though it's a season maybe that's coming in front of you or one that's in the past, you still can hear God's word for that and recognize, hey, you can put that in place in your life right now. But also, we're in this with each other. We're a multi-generational church. We do this together. And so we need to be able to help each other. Scripture tells us to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And so as we look at what it means to be a follower of Christ from different angles for different seasons, I want you to be thinking about those around you and how can you bless them and how can you encourage them. So I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to dive in today. Let's pray. God, you have a word for us, and we need it. Speak to us. You've given us your scripture, and we want to hear your voice and hear it clearly. And then, Father, we want to actually live it. So, would you give us the courage and the creativity and the understanding to actually put steps in place, so that we would be people of your word? We pray this in your name, Amen. Well, we're going to start with that last quarter of life. We're going to start with the best, right? Right? This is how life goes. We're all headed this direction. And that last quarter of life, what does that look like to be a flourishing follower of Christ in that last quarter of life? You know, for many of us, we think, oh man, I can't wait to get to that time when the schedule eases up. Some of you are in that phase of life right now where you're like, my schedule is so busy, it's so crazy, there's so many things happening. I can't wait for that. Or some of you are like, I can't wait for that moment. You got kids at home and the kids are driving crazy. We had extra kids spend the night this week on random nights. We had so many ball games to get to. I had a kid from another country call me and say, hey, remember a friend of mine's flying through. I need you to pick him up at the airport at 10 p.m. and then drop him back off at the airport at 5 a.m. And oh yeah, they're sleeping at your house. And I was like, I didn't remember, you know, that. And sure. And like the week was nuts. And I was thinking, I can't wait till that moment. All these guys have gone on and some of you, your work schedule is so busy. Or whatever, your activity that you're involved, so busy. You can't wait for that to be over. But as a pastor, as I walk with people that get to that last quarter, and a lot of those things kind of fade away. The busyness of the family is not there. A family doesn't require so much of you at that point, or you're not engaged in, you're not working, or you're not engaged in activities as much. Maybe it's actually even health things that have taken some of the activities of life away from you. And if you thought at one point, oh, that's going to be the place where I rest. But you get there, and sometimes it feels a little bit lost. And so often I walk with families as they get to that last quarter of life and feel a little bit, it's a lot harder than it looked like it was going to be. And the scripture speaks to that. In fact, there's a reason that we get to that point when all the kind of activity fades away and we feel a little bit lost. There's a reason for that. It's because God actually wired us for work. He wired us for good work. Now, don't equate work with a career. Don't equate work with earning an income. But when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, before the fall, he gave them jobs, right? He said, subdue the earth. He made them gardeners. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. He gave them good work. God worked. He worked 6 days, and then he rested on the Sabbath. But the Sabbath wasn't the end of the story. Another 6 days came around. It's part of a rhythm, right? And the rhythm is you work, and then you rest. And then you work, and then you rest. It's a rhythm of life that God has given us. And you all, that's wired deep in your hearts and souls. You're actually wired, you're created to live a life of purpose and to be about that work. Paul was writing to a group of Christians in the New Testament that kind of lost their sense of purpose. And that's often what Paul was doing. A lot of the New Testament was written, was Paul writing to Christians that kind of lost their way a little bit. And in the book of Ephesians, if you have that, you can turn there with me. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2. You can also follow along on the screens. This is what he says to this group. He says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, I'm going to pause right there, okay? What's he saying? Well, the argument that he's diving into, he's in the middle of, as people were saying, oh, you know, I got to do a good job. I have to do well enough. I have to do enough stuff so that I can earn God's favor. I can earn salvation. I can earn relationship with God in eternity. And Paul says, no, wait a minute, no. It's grace. No one can boast of the works that they've done. You were given grace. That's what it was a gift given to you. God created you, and he looks at you, and he says, I'm gonna bless you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. I give you grace. That's where we start. So Paul wants to get that really clear. But then he says this. This is verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. It comes up often in sermons. You've heard it before. Because I love that image that you were created by God. You were God's handiwork. You were God's good work. In fact, the word that he uses is poema. It's like the word we get poem from, right? You're God's artwork, you know. You're God's good work. But here's what I don't want you to miss. Why are you God's good work? Created for what? To do good work. Did you see that? He says you're not going to earn salvation by your work, right? Get that idea off. You don't have to be full of activities just to be pleasing God. No, you are given grace for that. You are God's good work to do good work. He created you to be about work. The kind of work that is good work is this work that's full of purpose. This good work is work that glorifies God and is part of his mission. You get to be a part of the mission of God in the world around you. That's what you were created for. And Paul doesn't want these guys to miss it. He says, you weren't just given grace, and then grace is like life's retirement, right? You know, here's grace, and you can retire from doing anything. You just take grace. That's what he's saying. That's not what it means to be a Christian. Just, okay, it's all good, so now I'm just going to sit here. That's not how you were wired, and things won't go well if that's the way you live. But you were given grace so that the Holy Spirit may be at work in you, so that you may be about good work that glorifies God. That's part of God's mission. Here's what I notice. Sometimes when people get to that last quarter of life, they find themselves lost because what felt like purpose is kind of taken away from them. You're busy with family, and family doesn't need as much anymore, and that purpose is kind of gone. The career that you were building, sort of that was taken away. And then sometimes over medical issues or different things, so many other layers and pieces, you just can't do as much anymore. And so many of those things that felt like purpose, they were taken away, and yet your soul is wired to be about work. It makes sense that then it would feel lost. In fact, God created you as a good work to do good work. And so what happens is you find yourself filling your life with busyness that is way too small for God's purpose for you. You see, if you don't live a life of purpose, even in your last quarter of life, then shadow purpose will start to creep in. It just happens. Right? And so all of a sudden you start to obsess about the little things around you. Maybe your purpose becomes trying to make sure that you're comfortable or you've got all your things in a row, or maybe that becomes your purpose. I don't know what it looks like for you. I see it sometimes in other people, not anybody in here, of course, but in other people out there. I see sometimes that they become political warriors on Facebook, right? And see, that's a shadow purpose. You care about the world around you, but you know that you need a purpose, and so you get so into, you're not really making any political changes. You're just fighting a battle because, well, you know you're supposed to be busy with something. And you know that your heart is made for more, and so that just grabs you. You know, we often don't recognize, especially those in that last quarter of life, we didn't grow up with technology, so we often don't recognize how much technology actually guides us. Just that TV sitting on in the background of our house throughout our day. And we just hear those messages, they actually drive a shadow purpose in our lives. And our phones, we read news articles, but the news articles that pop up on our phones, you know, are wired directly for us, and there's actually purpose behind them, and you didn't create the purpose. And you're driven. And it becomes a shadow purpose because you were made for purpose, and if you aren't intentional about your purpose, then purpose will just creep in, and it will not feel fulfilling, it will not feel whole. You will not feel like you are in the midst of God's mission, and you'll wonder, what's going on? I'm just drifting. That's because you are God's handiwork, and He created you for good work. And you need to be about good work. And maybe for some of you, you're like, okay, that's me. I'm going to go start a whole new ministry. You know, and some of you guys have done that. The amazing ministries that so many of you are part of and run, and, you know, it just blows me away all the time. And maybe that's the way that you're wired. Maybe something huge like that. You've got time, so you're going to put time into that. You've got resources, so you're going to put resources into that. Maybe that's what you're going to be about. Maybe that's what God calls you to. And that is awesome. But I also talked to somebody the other day, and I was saying, what's kind of life about? And they were like, you know, right now, life's just really about taking care of my spouse, because that's, you know, just where they are, right? And medically, she needs help. And I was a little worried about him because I, you know, it wasn't the high-powered career that he had for so long. And I was like, what, are you okay? And he was like, it's kind of just like a holy calling. That caught me, guys. That is a sacred calling. Did you know that the purpose that God can have for your life, it could look like a giant ministry. It might look like taking care of a spouse. But all of a sudden, you begin to see it through the eyes of purpose and calling. So God hasn't just left you to sit and wait and rest and be an eternal Sabbath. He's given you good work. You've got to see it with those eyes. You have to understand it as a sacred calling. Maybe for some of you, the sacred calling is just conversations with grandkids and great-grandkids. I'm talking to somebody that I said, what are you doing with your life? And they're like, you know, I spend some time just helping grandkids figure out what a budget actually means, you know? And you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. It's actually a sacred call to actually give those good gifts. Just sitting around and talking to next generation about life. What does it look like to be married? And what does it mean to follow Jesus? You think that doesn't have significance? Oh, my goodness. Impact is astounding. Maybe for some of you, the calling is to your neighbors. For some of you, you spend so much time in and out of medical facilities, and all of a sudden, God will give you new eyes that you would see those nurses. Those are hard jobs. And you would begin to see the plight of our nurses, and your calling, your purpose becomes to take care and make sure you're caring for them, giving them a little bit of God's love. I don't know what the sacred purpose looks like, but I know that God calls you to have one. And it's something that's, it is something that this sense of purpose, it's got to be more than just a few good deeds. It's not just an add-on. A good purpose doesn't just come after you've got enough time, after you've got enough margin, after you get that next thing done, because the next thing there'll just always be another next thing. There'll always be another next thing. No, a purpose is bigger than that. A purpose is something that you shift life for. A purpose is something that God calls you to. You're God's good work, created to do good works. Now listen to this. This is Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. The church in Philippi is another church Paul had to write a letter to. They got off track, you know, and he had to correct them and call them back in. This is what he says to them. This is chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to hear this. Those of us that are in our family that are part of that last quarter of life, did you know our guys that are in their last quarter of life, did you know God still has a purpose for them? And I want you to know something else. He's not done with it. It's not like they got there. He didn't say he created good work in them until the day of their retirement. Or he didn't say he created a good work in them, you know, until their health got a little bit bad. He didn't say he created a good work in them until their eyesight failed so much they couldn't see what was going on around them. He didn't say he would be doing a good work in them until they couldn't keep up with the technology. Because, man, that technology's, let me tell you. No. He who started a good work in that generation will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you that are in that generation, I want you to know this about you. God's still working. He's still working in your lives. And the work in your lives isn't just to make you, you know, isn't just because you got an ailment and you're praying that God would heal it. I mean, that's great. That's important. But no, he's still got a purpose for you. He's still at work on that purpose. And he will continue it, not until the day you just feel too tired. He will continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Right? Until you go to glory. You're to have a purpose. You need to have a purpose. God has a purpose for you. Now, guys, I get it. It shifts. It doesn't look like it looked 20 years ago in your life. Things are different. Your calling is to be constantly looking, having the eyes to see, God, what's the purpose you have for me here now? What does that look like in this phase of life? But know this promise, God has not given up on you. Now, there's another group that I see in that last quarter of life. They're not the ones that have kind of lost purpose. They're the ones that always have a purpose. The purpose is strong, the sense of like, I'm going after something. I'm building, I'm growing, I'm achieving, I'm leading. The problem with this group, though, sometimes, what I see every once in a while, is that the actual purpose itself has drifted. The purpose is missing from, instead of just like, hey, the purpose being about glorifying God and being on his mission, it becomes about building significance. It's a subtle shift. This is what it looks like so often. I'll be with great leaders. I mean, wonderful, wonderful leaders. And they're in the last quarter of life and they've been building and they've been leading and charging and building. Then they look around all of a sudden in that last quarter of life and realize that there are no younger leaders with them for them to hand the thing they've built off to. And that's actually a symptom of a problem that started earlier. They don't realize it, they didn't mean it, but what subtly shifted was it became about significance. But the calling of the gospel over and over again is for you to give yourself away. And so often I have leaders that have great purpose, but they don't hand that leadership off to the next generation. And by the time they get to the last quarter, there's nobody around. Now, I want you to hear this. If you're in the last quarter, it's not too late. Your calling is actually give yourself away. Give yourself away. Give away the leadership that you had, that you carried. Give away the wisdom that you have. Give away the resources that you have. I have never been so blessed as when I've been in a room where an older leader stops and says, hey, you ought to listen to what that young man has to say. That's when I was called young. That was long. I'm talking about long ago. You should listen to what he has to say. He's actually listening to God. And do you know that the way that just opens doors? It allows others to flourish in the calling and ministry that they have. It's an unbelievable gift that you can give as you get towards that last quarter of life to start to really, really live into. This is a call for all of us to give yourself away. But as you get towards that last quarter of life, man, this all of a sudden needs to become a focus. It needs to become something that you really lean into. Jesus says it this way. This is John chapter 12. He says this, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. See, sometimes our purpose just gets focused on our significance. But if you're willing to fall to the ground and die, this is what it says. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. It's a whole crop. That's how some of you city people, you don't know how agriculture works. Like, I don't plant anything. We plant nothing. But take it from Jesus. You got to plant that stuff in the ground. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, verse 25. While anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus says you got to give your life away. There was a great Bible scholar from Dallas Seminary named Howard Hendricks. And Howard Hendricks, he used to quote this old proverb. It doesn't come from our scriptures, but it's a great picture of John 12. He said, blessed are the old men and old women who plant trees under whose shade they will never sit. I don't know if you've ever planted a tree. I'm not good. All the agricultural metaphors are hard for me. I mean, everything we plant dies. We're not good. But you ever, I plant something and I want to come back the next day and see growth. You know, oh, something happening. It's not that water, nothing. And the old joke is, when's the best time to plant a tree? 10 years ago, right? It takes forever. The calling is to be people that are living a life of purpose, and that purpose is God's glory and being on God's mission. It's not our significance. And so you never get to sit under the tree. But imagine if your life began about planting little trees. You see, those of you in the last quarter of life, the folks in the other seasons of life behind you at this church, we need you. We need you desperately. God's not done with you, right? He has a calling for you and your life, and he will keep doing the work that he's doing until the day the Lord comes back. And you have the ability to plant trees that will provide shade, that give places for flourishing. But you have to be tree planters. Tree planters don't get to see the fruit of their work. But if you get focused on that kind of calling and that kind of mission, you don't get sucked up into shadow missions, which land yourselves as just in anxiety or in a malaise. See, you're called to so much more, even now. This is God's word for every one of us. But it's God's word for you in that last quarter of life. Would you pray with me? God, you have blessed our church with being a church of multiple seasons and generations. And right now, I want to lift up those in the last quarter. Father, would you just bless them? God, would you remind them that it's not their time to sit and watch or just to be in the eternal Sabbath, but that you have purpose for them? Father, would you help them to see their purpose? What it looks like in this phase and in this season, and help them to live into it. God, may they be a generation that gives themselves away. Father, would you help us as a whole church to lift up and encourage, to cheer on those in the last quarter? God, may we be a church of generations. And may we be a church that plants trees for generations to come. We pray all this in your name. Amen.